The White House says it's letting go of naming rights for internet websites. Ron Marks is senior fellow at the Homeland Security Policy Institute at George Washington University, and he is writing about the balkanization of the internet. Ron, it's always great to have you on the program. Why are you drawing that parallel to the 20th century and the real Balkans in Eastern Europe?
Oh, good morning, Francis. How are you? Good afternoon, rather. How are you? You know, we've arrived at a point now where we no longer dominate that net. And there are 200 countries in the world. Each one of them has some slightly different interests. Russia, China, Iran, other countries have stated their interest in putting more direct control over the top of it. Brazil, for instance, Europe is talking about having its own kind of system. So what was once sort of this lovely little quiet information sharing system that people were on exchanging emails, really in the last 5 to 7 years has grown into something else, and people are concerned about how that's affecting their society. They're concerned about how, frankly, that's infecting their political control. And so what you're beginning to see is the United States really no longer dominates this. It has some control, has some great sway, but there are other countries that want to play here, and they're going to. They're not particularly interested in what we have to say at this point. And frankly, I think the administration was probably pretty smart just to sort of let this one go and begin the process of trying to readjust where we are in the internet space.
Is there a risk, though, that we give away too much control or give away control altogether and then don't have any ourselves still at all?
Yeah, there is. My biggest concern at this point is I'm still not sure after several years whether or not the administration has really decided on what kind of internet doctrine we're going to have. We're doing it in bits and pieces. We're trying to do some bilaterals and multilaterals and all this other kind of negotiating. And, you know, again, we're not quite sure what we want the business sector to do. We're not quite sure what we want the ISPs to do. We want to try to sure what the individuals' roles and responsibilities are here. Frankly, we're adrift on this one. And that has allowed people who aren't adrift, to begin to move forward with their plans. That's number one. But number two is just the sheer expansion of the internet. We've gone from several hundred million to 2 billion in a very short period of time, people who can actually access the internet. And there's really no place on earth now that you can't at least get to it in some way, shape, and form, even in outer space. And that probably is going to go to about the 5 to 6 billion level within the next 5 or 6 years. And the 7 billion level ultimately seems to be the goal. And that's probably where we're going to be. You know, we're 300 million people. We have large economic power. We're not, we built this thing to some extent, to a large extent. And we certainly have the power of our economy and the power of our individual soft power in terms of our freedoms and our ideas. But, you know, we're sort of a small percentage of this. And in the internet, you know, life isn't quite the same as it is in land, sea, air, and space. You know, we're all sort of equal in the internet if we can exercise forms of power, and corporations and individual groups do as well. So I think there's inevitability to this thing, but it would be a lot better, I think, if we really planned out a little more comprehensively what it is that we think we're doing in this space.
You mentioned a moment ago, and you write in the piece, that the United States built the internet we know today. Do you think that's the source of some of the freakouts that we've seen about this decision by the White House, that people have said, oh, you can't just give it away? Is there kind of an it belongs to us, we made it, mentality behind that, do you think, Ron?
Yeah, very, very much. I mean, I hate to speak in too many 20th century terms, but I compared it back to the Panama Canal, which Jimmy Carter had let go back in the late 1970s. You know, I can hear the arguments. We built this thing. It's under our power. If we let this thing go, it's going to go out of control. Someone can grab it and take control of it. And when it was all said and done, we let it go. No one took control of it outside of Panama, sort of. We continue to use it very freely. And, you know, we are a dominant role down there, in part because we have huge trade that runs through it. And I would suggest to you that for the internet at this point, the United States is not going away by a long shot. And so, I think we will maintain a pretty prominent role. Again, I go back to the question of, you know, what role do we want to maintain here? Do we want to keep pushing for internet freedom? Do we want to keep pushing for, you know, for instance, as English as a common language? Do we want to, as we develop the internet, and we, you know, there's obviously great security concerns to the internet, as we begin to quote unquote harden the internet, you know, do we want to be part of that process? Are we going to have other people setting up their own internets as a way of avoiding our internet? There's a lot of questions out there, and we need to assert ourselves in there and be part of this, but we're not going away on this one. It's just a question of where do we want to go next.
All of the things that you talked about there, though, Ron, are all things that could happen anyway, no matter what our level of engagement was, no matter if we still, I'm using air quotes as I say the word, owned the internet and the governance of the internet. There's nothing to prevent somebody else from going out and building their own if they decided they wanted to.
Nope, not really. And this is the real question in cyberspace. Everybody is equal in cyberspace, whether or not you're an Assange, whether or not you're a Facebook, whether or not you're, you know, some other corporate body, for instance, or Lulz or other groups involved. You know, people, there's a different level of power here. This is not like if I got more missiles than you do, you're in trouble. This is a case of, you know, how many people have access to this information? How can you persuade people with this information? Do you provide a useful tool? You know, Facebook has 600 million or how many people on board because it is an extremely useful tool. That gives them an enormous amount of power. I think, like I said, to some extent we have a right to talk and try to set an agenda here, but again, as this thing ramps up from 2 billion to 3 billion to 4 billion to 5 billion, we're going to have less and less direct control over this, and I think it's just something we're going to have to get used to.
The getting used to it part then takes us to a cultural level, Ron, and not to a policy or technological or whatever place.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to get used to the idea that in this world, at least in the internet world, the United States will be a power, but not necessarily a dominant power. And I think it's going to fade very, very quickly here. I think probably in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll really see us in a position where China at 1.4 billion, India at 1.3 billion, you know, Brazil at several hundred million people, you know, three prominent examples are pretty much going to set up their own systems. And, you know, they'll obviously join in ours, but they will maintain control over that system in a way that the guys who founded the internet in the United States, that sort of, you know, lovely group of sort of 1960s, we want to share all this information kind of guys, I don't think envisioned, and I think probably are going to be very uncomfortable with.
Ron, your piece is linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. It's always great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Francis.